stand by.
Hello, this is Penn Jillette. The possibility exists that if I were to actually listen to the lackadaisical Librocubicularist podcast featuring host Jordan Maywood, I would potentially enjoy it. A ringing endorsement. Potentially enjoy this episode, which will start after the other half of my magical comedy duo Teller gives us a countdown. Take it away, Teller.
Hello, welcome to the Librocube. My name is Jordan Maywood, and I am the lackadaisical Librocubicularist. Start off by saying, perhaps, on a sort of just-in-case basis, that they're doing construction around, nearish my house, widening a road. So you may hear that. I don't know if you will. I don't know if you won't. This is a just-in-case thing, as I already mentioned. God, get off my back. clearing my throat. The other thing that I like to mention, similarly, on a just-in-case basis, is that there will potentially be spoilers. It's not a 100% guarantee of spoilers, no. It is just a possibility, and this warns of them. A spoiler warning, I might call it. The frig, I always clear my throat a lot before I hit record, and yet it's not cleared after hitting record, so that's a shame. Another thing I like to say at the top of every show is that if you like what you hear, the only payment I ask is $1 million. Oh my god, I can't believe you fell for that, you idiot. The only payment I ask is perhaps you pass the podcast on to a friend, perhaps you rate, subscribe, and comment within iTunes, because those are good things for podcasts. And this is one. There's another one. Okay, you know what? Before we hop in, I didn't have plans to talk about this, but why not? Kind of a cool little thing. If you listen to last week's episode, you will know that I spoke of the Artie Quitter podcast, which is a new podcast. Not new in the sense that it's he's new doing it, but new in the sense that I just started listening to it. So quite often what I'll do, specifically with things in the internet intercourse portion of the podcast, I will tweet the podcast to the people I talk about. That is, of course, as long as I say things nice about them, which, as you know, if you are a long-time listener, if such a thing exists, is usually what I say. I don't normally really ever bring back things that I don't like. That's what makes me a unprofessional reviewer of things. I don't quite often or ever really talk about things in a negative way because I only talk about things that I like for the most part. For the most part. Specifically, probably on the internet intercourse, because there I'm sort of cherry-picking from the things that I experience from the interwebs over the week, and only picking the things I like, so... Excuse me. God damn it. So what does all of this mean? Why am I saying this? Because from time to time, rarely, I would actually say, the famous folk that I tweet at with my podcast will reply in some form or another. Perhaps they'll like the tweet. Occasionally, if I get lucky, they will retweet. And in a very special, almost unheard of, never happened circumstance, in the case of Mr. Artie Lang, retweeted, said some nice things, we tweeted back and forth a little bit, and just really a goddamn delightful experience that made me extremely happy, part of which is the fact that he said he listened to the podcast and very much liked it, so I can now say that this podcast has the Artie Lang seal of approval. What the fuck? That's not something I thought would ever happen. There is, because of my brain and how it works, and this is probably not too weird on the scale of weird things my brain does, which is a large fucking scale, I'll tell you that. There is that possibility that he's just being nice, he didn't actually listen to it, but he did sort of say not only what he said, but sort of... not only how he said it, but sort of what he said made me think that actually he did listen to it. So, just sort of mind blown over the whole thing. And very, very much appreciative. So, without further ado, let's start another episode by pushing a button that will dedicate this.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Whoops. We'll dedicate that, I mean this, button push to Mr. Artie Lang.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to review some things.
Movie monologue.
Today's movie monologue sponsor is Dr. Manhattan Oncology. Thank you for your sponsorship. Movie the first, Dreamcatcher. Oh, this one from 2003. I think this one, for the most part, kind of slipped under the radar. I think not many people have seen this, and those that have, it didn't do great. Like, I'm looking at the IMDb as I do. Got a 5 out of 5. I don't think that's fair. Why don't I go ahead and give my rating as I do, as soon as I remember to do so, because otherwise I will forget. I'll go a solid 4 out of 5. Yeah, this is my second viewing. You'll know why later in the episode, why I decided to rewatch this, but I am glad I did. And again, this is sort of emphasizing the unprofessional reviewer of things that I am. A real getting paid for it movie reviewer would probably say negative things about this movie. But you know what? Sat down, I watched it, I liked it. Good things passed before my eyes on the screen that gave me enjoyment, and then it was over. I will say, and am I remembering this correctly? Yes, 2 hours and 14 minutes. That would probably be my main sort of knock against this. But that being said, based on a Stephen King novel, which may be a hint of why I watched this, and quite often movies based on Stephen King properties, this may not be a known fact. Well, maybe it is, are actually more often than not based on his short stories, but this is based on one of his sort of full-length novels, so the fact that it's a little longer kind of makes sense. Plus, he jam-packs so much in his friggin' books that I suppose I can forgive it. This is a weird... Well, it's Stephen King. This is a weird movie. Let me read the IMDb, see if it'll shed any light. Friends on a camping trip discover that the town they're vacationing in is being plagued in an unusual fashion by parasitic aliens from outer space. Yeah, that gives it a little more of an action-y feel than I think potentially I would give it. Sort of the cool idea of this movie is that the aliens are basically fungus. They're like a sort of black mold fungal infection, kind of. Some of this fungus gets into a man by the name of Jonesy. Then from that point on, it's sort of this idea of he still exists within his own mind, but this fungus has taken over. And this is done through very interesting, something you've never seen before, I imagine, way, where his mind is like a warehouse fold with, like, documents. He's sort of in an office within this warehouse that the evil alien can't get into. It's done well in the movie, and I'll just go ahead and give it away. If you've already read the episode description, you'll already know what I'm going to say. And that is, I read the book as well. And the book goes into much more sort of vivid, cool, mindscapey detail than the movie was able to. All in all, I would say give it a watch if you like what I have said about it so far. Movie the second, Ted 2. If you didn't see Ted, just Ted, would you like Ted 2? Maybe not. Watch Ted 1 first. Sort of went into this realizing it is what it is, having heard that it's not as good as the first, which, you know, again, this I'm really emphasizing my unprofessional reviewership of things by saying, I like this one as well. I'm going to go 4 out of 5 as well. I should potentially say that when I watched this movie, I was quite drunk. So, watching this movie while sober, would it have gotten a 3 out of 5? Yes, probably. But I'm not a professional. Drinking on the job, you might even say. If you're unfamiliar with Ted and Ted 2, it's about a teddy bear that came to life. Yep. The sort of fascinating thing about this movie is that it's almost like you took this universe in which a teddy bear comes to life, and everyone's just sort of like, yeah, okay, that can happen. What's the big deal? Move on. Let's move on with our lives. Like, he'll be walking down the street. People won't be freaking out. He'll come up to just random people, talk to them. They'll just be like, oh, you're that talking teddy bear I heard about, aren't you? Yes. The only talking teddy bear, sentient bear ever to exist. Sentient. Ooh, that's the sort of question of this movie. Is he a real human? Well, no. Is he sentient? Possibly. That's the question we'll be asking. Highlights of this movie, as you heard, I'm already out of time, so I've sort of fucked that up. Highlights are sort of, there's many, but two stick out of my mind. One is Michael Dorn, aka Worf from Star Trek, dressed as a poorly cosplayed Worf from Star Trek at New York Comic Con. That I love. And also, oh shit, what the hell is his name? Oh, I feel bad now. Oh, you know what? I got the IMDb open right in front of me, so this shouldn't take more than a second. Seth MacFarlane, Gene Brenner, Morgan Freeman, Patrick Warburton. He was at the same New York Comic Con dressed as the Tick, which I had to explain to the missus why that was funny, because she never knew of the live-action version of the Tick, which I hope you do know about. That gets a 4 out of 5 as well, while we're on the subject. Okay, moving on to Inside Out. Yes, I had been bugging the missus forever, saying, do you want to watch this? And she always says yes, but not now. So I haven't even told her. Yeah, living on the edge here. I haven't even told her that I just went ahead and watched it because I wanted to. So, take that. You snoozed and lost. This movie, 5 out of 5. I cried like a little girl. Something about, and this is a good audience participation time I would like to try, as I do from time to time. Do you, like me, find that on Sundays you are more emotional than other days? I find if I watch, and quite often this is why I do like to watch a sad movie on a Sunday, it's going to affect me more than any other day of the week. I wonder what that is. Is it psychosomatic at this point? Just, I think it happens, therefore it does happen? Or is it actually a sort of scientific reason why this happens to me? If you're unfamiliar with this movie, where have you been, under a rock? What it is inside the brain of a young girl. Oh, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I think I did make this connection when I was writing up the episode description. That I've got two movies that have sort of taking place inside people's brains. This one a little more on the cartoony side. After young Riley is uprooted from her Midwest life and moved to San Francisco, her emotions, joy, fear, anger, disgust, and sadness conflict on how best to navigate a new house and school. So what's that is not really telling you is that joy, fear, anger, disgust, and sadness are anthropomorphized, I believe is the term, and all played by different characters. So a cool idea. I think potentially, and this is getting a little deep and heavy, is that there was this sort of underlying potential of the parents divorced, my parents are divorced, and probably I was around the same age as the girl in this movie when they got divorced, so maybe some of that. It was kind of funny. I didn't think of that until after. I'm like, oh yeah, maybe that's why this movie hit me. Like, cried more than I had in any movie in a very long time. And you know what? I'm goddamn red-blooded Canadian male, manly enough to admit that fact. So, fuck you. Last movie is Watchmen. I always thought it was The Watchmen, but it's just Watchmen. Hadn't seen it in a long time. It was Sunday as well. This movie's 2 hours and 42 minutes. I thought, you know what? It's Sunday. You know what? Correction. It was Monday of a long weekend, and I was a little hungover in bed. So I thought, you know what? What better time to revisit a 3-hour-long movie? Still great movie. 5 out of 5 rating. Yeah, really like this movie. Surprised I've only watched it twice. That sort of surprised me. Maybe it's the sort of 3-hour movie thing that you kind of gotta put aside a little time to watch it. If you're unfamiliar with The Watchmen, based on a comic book, and it's action-y and goody and stuff, and I'm way behind on time here, so I've really fucked this up. So I'll just leave it at that for now, so I don't fuck up any further than I already have. Today's television talk sponsor is John's Whiskey Taffy. Delicious whiskey flavored taffy from John. Okay, you know what? I meant to look this up and I didn't. Have I spoken of Bar Rescue before? I don't know if I did or not. I think it was potentially during a time where I had much TV talks on the go. And maybe let it slip through the cracks. But anyways, the missus and I have watched now all of season 1, 2, and 3. I think season 2 was like available on Netflix or Show Me or something like that. And we watched it and really liked it. So when I saw I could get my grubby little mitts on seasons 1, 2, and 3... We sort of, that's a weird way to watch a show, but with a show like this, it's possible. So we watched season 2, and now have caught up with season 1 and 3. Season 4, I just saw, is just done wrapped and good to go. Season 5 is in the works, potentially, I think. Anyways, I say all this because this show is really, really good. Fits strongly under the category of shows you and your wife, you and your husband, two people who have different likes and dislikes of things, can sit and watch a show such as this. It's not going to piss anybody off. Potentially, when you talk of a show like that, it's not going to blow anyone's minds either. But with this one, gets close to doing both, which is an impressive feat. Host John Taffer, as he says at the top of just about every show, has in one form or another, he calls it touched 800 bars. That meaning is he's run them, he's come in and advised on how to turn them around. This show takes the form of that, where he'll go to a bar that's sort of not doing too well, losing money, imminently going to be closed, and then he'll use his bar brain to turn it around. Bar brain with a strong jigger. Oh, wow, using the lingo. A strong jigger of science. And this is one of the reasons that I love this show. It's not just, like, Gordon Ramsay I enjoy. Like, I enjoy his coming in and turning restaurants around. That's fun. But this takes it to another sort of level, and he really uses science and numbers to prove what he is doing. You know what? With that said, something I can say, and I looked into this a little bit. I don't have exact numbers, but Gordon Ramsay has gone into so many restaurants to fix them. And if you were to look at all of those restaurants now, something like 60% of them are now closed. And again, I'm making up the numbers, but they weren't great. John Taffer gone into so many bars, and if you were to go look at the bars now, afterwards, you know, months and years later, whatever it is, 90% of them are still up and running and doing a booming business because of the fact that he, I do believe, uses science more than emotion. Now, that being said, another thing I love about this John Taffer guy is he, you could tell he cares, not only from his yelling at the people when he's angry, but also there's been moments where you could see he gets a little misty-eyed when it's sort of a job well done and things have turned around and he gets emotionally involved with the people that he's helping. So if you couldn't guess from my description so far, I will say an obvious 5 out of 5. This is a show that I don't think there's really a human being that would not enjoy it, which is an amazing sort of feat. It was on Spike TV. Is it still on Spike TV? Yes. Original network Spike. Yeah, okay. Well, that's sort of interesting in itself because it doesn't have a feel of a sort of Spike show. It's not sort of guy dude bro Spike, which is for some reason what I think about. Anyways, look at that. Fit it under the timer this time. It's like I know what I'm doing, but I don't.
Conan the Librarian. Don't you know the duodecimal system?
Book banter.
Today's book banter sponsor is No Bounce, No Play, Medicine Balls. Okay, we are talking, as I mentioned earlier, Dreamcatcher by Stephen King. The book, not the movie. So one of the... rating-wise, I'll go 4. I'll go a solid 4. It's not my favorite Stephen King book I've ever read. That would be The Stand, and also the Dark Tower series. And there's lots of good Stephen King out there. Short story would be The Long Walk. Stand By Me, also good. Anyways, Stephen King, he's sort of that author that real hoity-toity, snooty, palooty author, not authors necessarily, but probably authors as well, snooty book people sort of look down their noses at and poo-poo, but I've always found his books to be good. Very good, in fact. I've never read one that I didn't sort of thoroughly enjoy, so I would call myself a Stephen King fan for sure. And you know what? I would do it right to the goddamn faces of those hoity-toity, snooty-palooty people that I just talked about. So there. Unprofessional. Reviewer of things. So some differences compared to the movie, which I think is a good thing when you're comparing a book and the movie. It is better. I think I give them both 4 out of 5, but it is better. A 4 out of 5 for a book beats a 4 out of 5 for a movie. Just FYI. And there was some things that they had and didn't have that choices they made in the movie that I didn't like, specifically with regards to the ending, which I don't have to get into so as not to spoil it. Let me pussyfoot around it. Pussyfoot. they chose to explain things regarding the brain and the fungus better in the book than they did in the movie. Huh? Look, I pussyfooted. The other sort of strange thing that has never happened to me before is specifically for the first half, even three quarters of this book, I couldn't remember if I had read it before. Like, I am... I'm going to say 77.34% that I have read this book before. But the reason that I'm not 100% is because it's so much like the movie up until towards the end that I think there's that sort of hidden potential that when I'm remembering having read the book, I'm actually just remembering having watched the movie. So I've never had that happen to me before. And I'm pretty sure I've read... Yeah, I guaranteed have read books based on movies. And then, you know what I don't know if I've ever done? is... Oh, no, I didn't do that either. Anyways, it was a very strange sensation, which towards the end went away, which made me question the whole thing. Okay, so what's this about? You got four friends on a hunting expedition when shit goes down. The shit is aliens, and like a zombie movie, the bigger threat is actually other humans. Kind of, sort of. Like, the aliens want to take over the world with their fungus, which is bad, of course. But the sort of main immediate threat comes in the form of these army dudes. Colonel Kurtz, I do believe was his name, played in the movie by Morgan Freeman. Played in the book by whoever I chose in my brain, probably Morgan Freeman. No, I think he's described as white in the book. I can't remember. Anyways, so he's sort of the more immediate, going to kill you with his gun, as opposed to the fungus, which, it's interesting, because is it sentient? Is it a sort of hive mind? It did have that kind of feel, like all of the fungus together is one being. It just can break off into individual entities, but it's one sort of brain ruling the whole thing. Interesting ideas, and would recommend it if you like Stephen King. If you don't, maybe choose another one before you try this one. Today's Game Gabin sponsor is Krillin's Cuts, Barbershop Cuts with a K. Alright, I have sort of an interesting one here. It is called Dragon Ball Xenoverse. Interesting because several reasons, but the main one is I am fairly certain, although not 100%, that I have never, ever, in all of my video game talk on this podcast, 400 episodes, hundreds, presumably, of video games spoken of, have never brought back a fighting video game. Just ever. It's strange when I look back, because when I was in high school, I played the shit out of Killer Instinct. The shit. I was very good at it. Almost nobody could beat me. Nobody could beat me consistently. The only person that could beat me was, well, that's a story for a different day. Anyways, so it's sort of strange that that's never happened. It's not that I necessarily don't like them, it's just that, as I have aged, and I've spoken of this before, my video game playing has changed in many ways. One of the ways is that, my desire to play with others is not really there, necessarily. I'm sort of using it, as I do most things, as escape from reality. So, having others intrude on that escape pulls you back into this shitty fucking piece of shit life. Yeah. That sort of explains away the not playing fighting games, which usually you have to play with others. This one, I didn't, to be honest, I didn't even try that far. I didn't go that far into it as far as playing with others. You can play online. I didn't do that. What this game does have, which was very cool, and sort of why I heard about it and decided it would be up my alley despite all that, is the fact that you are playing a character that you can create, which is always fun, that is living in the Dragon Ball universe. And by that I mean you are sort of taking famous scenes from the television show, and then through sort of time-travel-y, magic-y goodness, throwing yourself into those scenes and helping or hindering with the sort of epic fights, which is a genius idea. They use sort of dumb, I don't necessarily want to say dumb, they use magic-y, anime-y, time-travel-y, dummy ways to explain why you are traveling through time to these epic battles and helping usually the good guys, but also occasionally the bad guys. Still, what do you want? It's Dragon Ball. I should mention, and I'm sure it's come up over the years on the podcast, that I was a huge Dragon Ball fan. Z, specifically. Seen every episode at least a couple of times, and was just a huge fan. So that's why I thought this game might hit some of my like buttons, and it did. Rating-wise, that's a good question. I'd probably still only go 3. My desire to revisit it is there, which means 4, but it's not there very strong, which means 3. So we'll see. I'll tell you what, if I ever go back and revisit this game, maybe play it with someone live here in person, although I only have one controller. I guess one could do controller and one could do keyboard mouse. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. If that ever happens, we'll bump it up to a 4. Of course, I won't tell you that that happens, so what the hell. Alright, you've got all the characters from Dragon Ball that you know and love. Krillin, for example. You sort of, a la a lot of fighting games, unlock them as you fight them or fight with them. There's a hub homeworld where you can, you go back after every fight, you sort of power up, you get new weapons or potions or other sort of attire to change the look of your character. There's many different races that you can choose from when you're creating your character. I believe I just went with Xan because, you know, screaming sounds, power. Today's Internet Intercourse sponsor is Japanese Elven Rosewater. Thank you. Okay, the first item. Shit, have I already... No, I don't think I have. Jesus, I can't remember... Okay, well, off to a great start here. Why do I feel like I've already spoken of this before? I hit it with my axe. Maybe it was just in my brain. Anyways... Let's pretend that it was. And if it wasn't, apologies. Okay, I hit it with my axes back. That could have been the first sentence, and you could ignore everything that has happened prior to that in this Internet Intercourse segment. I hit it with my axes back. There it is again. Let's do it a third time, because these things should happen in threes. I hit it with my axes back. I Hit It With My Axe is a, let's go ahead and call it a web series from back in the day. Pre this podcast, I do believe, although I'm not 100% sure. If it wasn't pre this podcast, I'm sure it made an appearance in some early episodes of it. What it is porn stars playing Dungeons and Dragons. Oh my god. As I have on more than one occasion to people to try to get them to experience this for themselves said, I came for the porn stars and stayed for the Dungeons and Dragons, because that is an extremely accurate a description of what I hope will happen to you as well if you watch this. It was sort of a fascinating story. They did 36 episodes. It was on a website called The Escapist. It's still there. You can still watch the old episodes. And the people who were paying for it were apparently Greek. And even I, who know very little, 2-0 of the world economy, know that the Greek economy not doing so well. So they were no longer to pay for new episodes. So it went away, sadly, I might add. In the intervening years, it's been years, I'm pretty sure, at least once every, let's call it 3 months, I would Google, I hit it with my axe, I follow them on Twitter, follow them on Facebook, always sort of on the lookout for potential new episodes, desiring them heavily. Finally, one day, not too long ago, I saw that a new episode was posted, and boy oh boy, I don't think I've ever been so happy to see something from the internet that I once loved come back. I can't think of a time that that's happened, now that I just say that sentence, but still, All your old friends are back. What I think they're doing right at this moment is sort of an introduction, or perhaps a reintroduction, to not only the people playing, but to... they have sort of a different style than they did in the original episodes. So, in the original episodes, there was 90%, 80% playing of the game, with 10, 20% jumping in with facts and little tidbits and try to get you not only interested, but educated in the whole Dungeons & Dragons thing. So now they've sort of seemingly flipped that, which I don't know if my favorite thing in the world. I'd like to see a little more gameplay, to be honest, which I think they are building towards, so... that's good. I don't mind a slow build. And then I'll tell you the reason why I don't mind a slow build is because I love this thing so much that I hope it goes on for longer. So if they just slow it down and let it happen, I will be a happy, happy camper. One of the members of the cast, Miss Mandy Morbid, I have tweeted at a couple of times over the years, although it's been a while, and she has always tweeted back. Incredibly nice of her to do so, so I wanted to give her a shout out. I also tweeted to the Dungeon Master, or Game Master, if you prefer, Zach Smith, who is running the show. Let him know how happy I was to see the show back, yada yada yada. He also responded back, so thank you to him. So give them a nice shout out. Please, please, please go have a look at I Hit It With My Axe. This is one of those really good situations, the whole pity envy situations. If you haven't seen episodes 1 through now 40, I pity you. If you haven't seen episodes 1 through 40, I envy you, because you have all of that content to experience for yourself. Okay, I spent way more time on that than I wanted to. I'm supposed to have 5 minutes for all of things. That was 5 minutes on one thing. I have disgraced myself and must kill myself. Okay, so next item is a Never Not Funny with guest Amber Rose? Question mark? Voice goes high at the end? Yeah, the thing... I think lots of things... lots of things I loved of this situation, but my favorite was on the Never Not Funny Facebook page, they always post a picture of the guest or Jimmy Pardo on the guest, or just a picture to sort of represent the episode, let's say. This particular one was Jimmy and Amber Rose, and the look on Jimmy Pardo's face was the same look that I'm sure a lot of us listening had, was, what, that Amber Rose is here? just perfectly described in the smile on his face, and I love that. This was a very strange situation, just with regards to a podcast I love, listen to every episode, no matter what, and has on a guest that I know of Amber Rose. I never thought of her. She did do that one Funny or Die thing that I enjoyed. But still, I never thought in a million years to hear her on a podcast, on a comedy podcast that I listen to. Just period. Full stop. So going in, I do go into new situations with an open mind. I don't have pride in many things I do. One of the things I can have pride is that I like to think that I have an open mind to most new experiences. Try everything once, with the exception of butt sex. It's an in, not out. I mean my own butt, of course. what was I going to say? So I managed to go in with an open mind, and I don't think I would... yeah, how can I say this? I could have not gone in with an open mind, and she would have turned my mind. That's a compliment. So, really just an incredible... this turned me into an Amber Rose fan for more than just being smoking hot. So thank you, Amber Rose, thank you, Jimmy Pardo, for introducing me to Amber Rose, is a sentence that I imagine no one ever thought they would say. Okay, next is a new addition to my podcast listening repertoire. Yeah, I feel like I'm in a transition now of adding and experimenting with new podcasts quite a bit lately. This one is High and Mighty with John Gabrus. Oh, John Gabrus of Comedy Bang Bang? Several, many appearances? Yes. That's part of the reason why I decided to check out his thing. That, and when I looked at some of the guests he had on, I knew a lot of them, knew I liked them, so sort of, that's kind of like how I like to dip my toe into a new podcast, is listen to the first episode, sure, like my first episode, really, really bad, so if theirs is even sort of good, yeah, then maybe experiment with listening to episodes with some guests that I like, or subjects that I like, that sort of thing. Anyways, very, very pleasantly surprised with this one. It's turned into just really, really good show. As I believe Johnny Carson would say. Really, really good show. Johnny Carson impression. There you go. Oh, boy. John Gabrus, super, super funny guy. Seemingly very relatable to myself. Seemingly very much alike in both humor and potentially looks as well. I feel like maybe he's a slightly better looking version of myself. So, damn you, John Gabrus. As you heard, we're already out of time, so I don't really have too much time to go into it. But you know what? I'll say this. I guarantee, because I've liked it so much, I'll bring back episodes in the future. Let me just say, episode one was with Jake and Amir, so you had me at one. He also did an episode where he spoke of fantasy novels, which is one of my great loves, as you no doubt know. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm talking about, Willis. Okay, last but not least, Epic Mealtime Goes to Japan. Love me the Epic Mealtime, love me Japan, put them both together, and what do you have? Good. Folks, it is nice to be nice to the nice.
This is the end of the show. A sincere thank you for listening. Time to plug some things, and I do not mean butts. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow Jordan_Maywood on Twitter. You can subscribe and comment on iTunes. Lastly, if you would like to contact the podcast, you can email jordan.maywood@gmail.com. I would like to conclude that I am not a robot and that I have a theory.
I've got a theory that it's a demon, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right there.
I've got a theory.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine.
Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met.
Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
The best is yet to come.
Live long and prosper.